All right. Well, let's just carry on. Just finish this. I would really like to do a session on communion at some stage and how that works. But looking at this from a personal angle, the kingdom of God is where you perform that service, keep his laws in lordship. So within the kingdom of God, you have access to a court of war, a strategy, a council, mobile court, and the court of angels. And you have your mountain there. Your mountain, throne, and mandate, scroll, blueprint as part of that. So you're sat on your throne as a lord, functioning, and below you have seven mountains. Okay? So that, as the blueprint for your life there, that completion of God's government in you, seven mountains. Now, whatever those authority are, family, workplace, could be your area, church, gifting, ministry, whatever it is for you. And I've heard lots and lots of different names for mountains. Some of them were, one person's mountain was body, soul, and spirit. He had a mountain for his own body, his own soul, and his own spirit. Well, that's it. He knew what he was doing on it. And other people have different mountains for different things. So it's just for you, some of them you'll already know, some of them you just need some, maybe the words or what they mean, but some of them will be there. So when you go to your mountain, the position that you are in the realms of heaven as a lord in sonship, then you will then begin to find them. Now, when I first understood these mountains, I didn't understand how to do it. God showed me it. I began to engage it. And I was spinning plates all the time. I was jumping from one mountain to the next mountain. I need to be on my family mountain. Then I need to go on this other mountain. Then I need to go on this throne on this other mountain. And it was just like a mad spinning. And so when I then understood that, no, I am the position of authority, that position, that throne, is I can rule them all. So in the Lord of the Rings parlance, one ring rules them all. One throne rules them all. So everything that you're responsible for can be ruled and governed from your position of who you are. That's why you need to know your identity, your position, and your authority. So then you can rule everything you're responsible for. Now, there are other things where you may be part of other benches. Now, I'm not saying there's always seven, but there may be other mountains. So you may be part of a regional bench or a local bench or a city bench or a business bench or a health bench. You know, there may be other ones. You see, I'm part of corporate benches within our ecclesia. I'm part of the apostolic resource bench. So that means that I have different things where I'm with somebody else. So there's individual mountains, and there may be corporate mountains that you are part of. And they are different spheres of government, and they function slightly differently, because when you're corporately responsible, you're equal and submittively responsible with others. On your own mountain, it's you. You know, you are responsible and you're accountable for your own life. So what you do, you'll find, when you start to engage these things, you may find that it's not as straightforward as just going there and everything's wonderful. You may find there's some spiritual opposition that blocks or hinders or has usurped that authority in this realm. And this is where people get confused. Because there's a mobile court in the realm of the kingdom of God, and it is a heavenly realm, people think, well, the enemy can't access the heavenly realms. The enemy has access to this realm because he has access to the mobile court. And above this, the realms above this, you can only go through by going through the fiery sword and the cherubim, who guard the way to the tree of life. So, in a sense, you have to go through the fire, which is yielding. That's what the yielding of the fire is. I am surrendering and yielding my life to go through into the next realm. So there may be things that you have to deal with. And this is where, you know, some of the people struggle with the terminology. There aren't demons in this realm. Okay? Demons are spirits which are confined to the earth. They are not in this realm. Therefore, you don't go casting out demons from this realm. But there are spiritual forces there. We call them dragons or giants. And they are from what Satan did in genetic manipulation in the first estate when he because he was a reptilian seed, and that's why the seed of Cain is serpent seed. He manipulated and genetically manipulated some of those that were in the first estate, and that's where we get the dinosaurs. You know, and some of them, they weren't meat eaters by design. some of the modification created a pollution of it, because the enemy always wants to pollute everything in his own image. So they are some of the spirits that operate this realm. Some of them are operate as fallen angels, if you like, because the whole third of the angels fell and other dimensional things. So it's a mixture. So you may see some dragons sat on a mountain that you see from your mountain, and you think, well, what am I supposed to do with it? Well, never fight it from below, obviously, because they have the higher ground. Never fight it from level, above. So where your seat of government is, the enemy has no access. He cannot take your throne because it's been caretaked by an angel that's there, assigned your heavenly angel. Jesus said you have a heavenly angel signed. He is there on that throne. Or she, doesn't have to be female, male or female. But and they're not male or female in the way we think about them. They sometimes have the appearance of male and female. So that's there, so that's in your position. So to deal with a dragon, it's not like weird. But you have to have authority. You need to know your identity, your position, which is above, and the authority of that position. So you use the sword of the Spirit, which is often things that you know to be true and truth that you can use to defeat the lies. So if let's say one of the mountains you have is, you know, family area, and you have things going wrong in your family all the time, and you have to deal with something that's in that area, then you need to know your identity in the family, and you need to know your authority in the family, and you use the word of God, and you can find scriptures that show you the power and authority you have within family. So, and God will show you them. Whenever you're going to tackle a giant or a dragon, and mostly, you know, it's dragons in this area, I've found when I've ministered to people or talking to people and they're testifying to what they've done, they'll find in the few weeks before an encounter like this, God gives them scriptures. He gives them truth, revelation, declarations. So then when they go and deal with this thing, it's like the sword of the Spirit, you cut off the authority it has. That's what it means by cutting off the head. So you cut off the authority because you declare your authority over this mountain. So if you don't know your authority over that mountain, then you have nothing to cut its head off with. Which is why you must understand the authority that you have. And then often, because it's been there usurping authority, it's robbed you of stuff. So you split it open, its belly, because it will take the things that belong to you, scrolls and things, and place them within its belly, as you're supposed to take them and place them in your belly. So split it open, see what comes out. All sorts of stuff comes out. You know, some weird stuff comes out of some people, some dragons. You know, I was talking to one guy and a whole load of shoes came out of it. And he was like, what is all that about? So well, what does shoes relate to? Oh, being shod with the gospel of peace. So it wasn't just one pair of shoes, it was loads. I said, well, what do you think your ministry might be? Oh, helping people to be shod with the gospel of peace. So quite symbolic. One guy had umbrellas that came out of it. I mean, it's just like some funny stuff. But when you sort of think, well, what does an umbrella mean to you? You know, all sorts of stuff. I mean, and it's like, so you get in the symbolic nature of what you see an understanding of what it is that's representative of. You know, and some people just get, they just, stuff comes out, they just know. Like, words will flow out of it, which gives them understanding. For some people, see things. So you can deal with all that stuff there. Just make sure you deal with it from above. Don't be spooked by it. It's just no different than anything else the enemy tries to do to rob, kill, and destroy. He's just doing it in a realm because we've not been used to going to that place and taking authority. Now, so it's a long time when they've had access to spoil things in your life and block your destiny. So you remove that, deal with it, get rid of it. So then, because you're ruling from that place, ruling through those mountains, everything that comes from that place of authority can come into the earth through you as a gateway. It doesn't have to go through the atmosphere because you have direct gateway from heaven through your first love gate out into the world through the rivers of living water. It doesn't have to come through the atmosphere. So you're not dealing with demons, but when you are engaging the spiritual atmosphere around, as I taught yesterday, there are demons in there. You know, they may be in other people or they may be in the fabric of a place. That's why some places feel dark and cold. Because memory gets stored in the fabric of everything. Everything I say in this room, and everything we'll do in this room tomorrow, will be stored in the fabric of this building. Everything that's seen, all the light, will be stored in the fabric of the building. So they're going to be a really best place when we leave. You know? Because we're going to leave a good deposit. But in times when there's heavy trauma or things have happened in a place, murder, death and stuff, that memory also stays in the fabric. Which is why when you get a new house, you go around and you sort out what's in the fabric there from memory of what happened there before. Well, you do if you're sensible. Otherwise, you can be subject to what has been there historically without cleansing it. You know, so we need to understand that, you know, demonic things are drawn to the memory of traumatic things. And it's not ghosts. You know, people's spirits die and they go, you know, wherever they're going to go. But demons who are in them often linger in the places that, to the trauma. So you feel some places are, oh, it feels shivering cold in here. It feels dark. Because you're picking up the atmosphere of the demonic that's there. You can deal with that. You can deal with that by engaging it. You know, you need to know your authority. And you can also deal with it. Obviously, if it's in people, we know we have the authority to cast out demons. So, you know, you are engaging a spiritual realm, but it isn't going to heaven. Because there is no demons in heaven, but there are spiritual forces in the Kingdom of God area. And so it's important to understand the difference. You know, because a lot of people are talking about where they're going into the spiritual realm. They are, just not the heavenly spiritual realms. And ministry in these areas, you know, people do things, but they don't necessarily always understand the fullness of what they're doing. And terminology can be misconstrued or misunderstood. So demons are on the earth. They are the dispossessed spirits of those who died in the flood. And they were up to, population studies indicate there could have been up to 35 billion people who died before the flood, way more than there are now. So there could be a lot of them around, you know, because there were only, what, eight who were eight in the ark, you know. And so, you know, but they wander around the earth. They can be incarcerated, so they can be locked up should they do things that they shouldn't. So Jesus, that's why they said, when Jesus was casting out the demons from Legion, it was like, don't send us into the abyss. So, you know, if they can do contempt of court, when they're familiar spirits that are doing contempt of court, they can be incarcerated if they don't stop what they're doing. And you need to know your authority to tell them to stop and then use the court system to make sure they do stop. You know, because just because you get a court order or a restraining order doesn't mean that they instantly obey it. They're testing whether you know your authority in it or not. So anyway, so it flows through you into the earth through your person and as you're a gateway of heaven. But we do need to deal with the atmosphere of the earth. It's like we need to get the principalities and powers and rulers and the wicked forces of things that are there occupying those positions, because principalities and powers and rulers have thrones, and those thrones can be occupied by something good or something not so good. So the angelic principalities, powers and rulers that are assigned by God over an area or over a nation or over a city are not in place in the atmosphere unless someone has cleansed the atmosphere and seen them invested. They're waiting for us to assign them back to their roles, their estate that God gave them. But most of us haven't learned to do that. Most spiritual warfare trying to deal with the atmosphere was always done from below. And so it didn't work. You know, you may have been able to temporarily punch a hole through, but actually mostly it always closed over again. So, you know, I used to think, you know, when I went to some things where people were doing spiritual warfare, and I was always a bit, well, how do you think this is going to work? Well, we bind you in this name, we bind you in Jesus' name, we're binding this and we're binding that. So I thought, well, I wonder how long they're bound. Because if they're bound and that's it and it's done, all we have to do is go everywhere and say we bind it and it's sorted. Well, it didn't work, did it? No. You know, because they weren't doing it from the right place. Yeah. They might have recognized, and I think a lot of the spiritual warfare stuff, and I'm not knocking the revelation that was received to understand that there are these things operating there, and but they never went the next step to how you deal with them from above. So people tried to deal with them from below, and a lot of times got pretty much oppressed. You know, how many intercessors who tried tackling this sort of stuff ended up feeling oppressed, heavy, burdened, you know, because they weren't doing it from above. Nothing wrong with the principle of trying to deal with it, just from the wrong place and the wrong level of authority. And you know, Robert Henderson, who does a lot of stuff on the courts, who tells a story of two ladies who went to tackle some principality or something over New York and end up dying of cancer within a year, you know, in their mid-20s or something. I mean, so, you know, don't step outside of your jurisdiction and don't do things from below. Make sure you're in a position of authority, you know that position, because it comes from your identity, and then you can use the authority. But we will have to deal with the atmosphere, and we will need to deal with what's called the everlasting doors. Psalm 24, be lifted up, O you heads, as gates. So we then need to lift up the everlasting doors, and we then will begin to see things from the glory of heaven poured through. But that isn't just going to happen until we're in positions and we know how to administrate what's in the atmosphere. So that's essentially, you know, an idea of personally what you need to think about doing in your own life. But a mandate can be anything. You know, my mandate for coming here was based in this vision and experience and a mandate given to me. So everything I've done in the last few years has been based on this mandate. You know, but if you continue to pursue a mandate, often more revelation will come and God will give you greater insight. So, you know, that's then developed into this, which tomorrow we're going to look to engage some of that and do what God wants us to do with it. But people say, what do you do with the blueprint? You know, what do you do with it? I've got a blueprint. What do I do with it? Well, establish foundational government around it. Because there isn't any foundational government, that blueprint can never be built. If you don't have foundations, how can you build anything? Well, if you do, what happens to it? Falls down. You know, so what is it? The wise man builds his house on the rock. The foolish man builds his house on the sand with no foundations. So whatever you have, lay the foundations. Now, I want to explain how this works so that none of you will have an excuse for not doing what God's calling you to do. One person often gets a blueprint from God. They will receive a mandate and they get a blueprint. We usually call it a vision. One person who agrees with God, what does that form? An ark of agreement. And what is an ark form? An opening for a manifestation of something. So one person who agrees with God over a heavenly blueprint can start something. So people who say, oh, I'm on my own, I haven't got a bench. Well, you have, you just haven't sat on it. You know, agree with God about the blueprint, yield to it, and agree with God and in ark forms, which will lead to the manifestation of the establishment of that blueprint in the beginning. Two people can come together. Well, if two people come together to seek God and get a blueprint, well, they've already got an ark. So if they've already got an ark and they take their seats as a bench of three, who's going to be the third of the bench of three? God. Because he'll join in agreement with you. So there's no excuse for if you're on your own to do something, and there's no excuse if you've got two of you. You can all do it. So if you've got three people who are already established in this government, well, praise God, what's God going to be? The fourth, to open up the window for the full manifestation. And he will be the representation of the angel of the house until you get one. Because then you'll then start to get the seven. So the first layer of the foundations is the bench of three. The second layer of the foundations is a bench of seven, which is why you couldn't build a house unless you had 10. But you can start with one. And then you'll get two, or three, and four, and seven. Until then the living stones of that blueprint can start to be established. Now, if you already have something you're transitioning to a new order, you still have to do the same thing. But if you already have an existing structure, the leaders of that structure have to be willing to submit to this. You can't do it. If you're within a structure trying to change it within and the leaders aren't in it, get out from under it. Because you'll never change something. Because you don't have the authority to do it. Yeah. So many people want to change something within because they've invested time into the people and they've got good friends and good relationships. But you can't change it unless the authority that is there existingly were willing to submit and engage something new, which takes a lot for people who've invested, and sometimes their jobs are invested in it, sometimes their finances, sometimes their houses are invested in it, because the church provides the house for them, and then, oh, what happens? Well, this is my life, I've got children. So they base their decisions on the finances rather than what God says. You know, so you have to be willing to engage from the beginning and lay those foundations. And then something can establish. So everyone here can receive a mandate and a blueprint to establish something. You know, and if you have more than one person who are working together, husband and wife, great, you've got a good start. You've already got an agreement. You know, if you've got husband and wife and a friend, you know, great. But you have to find the heavenly blueprint, not just think you come up with a good idea. You know, it's got to come from heaven. You know, we can have lots of good ideas and lots of wishful thinking, but this is a pattern which God releases so we can build according to it. So be open for that. You know, what do you do with a mandate? Engage the four faces of God for a heavenly governmental perspective. So whenever I receive a mandate from God, I want to see what heaven's perspective is. I don't want to just think, oh, here's a mandate, I'll go and sort it out. I go kingly mandate, prophetic mandate, apostolic mandate, priestly mandate. Then I'm standing in the four faces of God with this mandate, and I can start to look out to see how this mandate is going to be fulfilled from the government of God, the order of Melchizedek. Then I can go and walk back into eternity. And I can stand in eternity in what was, where this mandate was came from the heart of God, and I can frame that from an eternal perspective. You know, you might think, well, I have no idea what you're talking about. Well, you won't until you go and do it. But I know you can go and stand in that place. And when you stand there, something of the very eternal heart of God will be imparted to you, which then when you walk back into what is, you'll just know what to do. You know what to decree and declare, and it will be totally different if you didn't get that eternal perspective. So when you bring all this together, you know, you can establish things. If it's a new mandate for something, and you've never had it officially recognized, then go and get it officially recognized. Go to the court of chancellors and get them to seal it. A daily mandate to do something you already got authority to do, you don't need to do that for. I receive a mandate at the Ark. I have authority to do something as a part of the bench of three that I'm part. I don't have to go and get that sealed. But if God gives me a new mandate altogether, I go and get it sealed because I want heaven to recognize it. Then I'll go and put it into the record in the scribes. The scribes will record it. It's part of the record that I can then use, and heaven recognizes it because it's on the statutes. So I have a statute book for my own life. In it are all the court victories and all the court orders and all the things I have. In it are all the laws that I have, all the laws that I've made. In it's my destiny, and therefore I have the authority, and heaven recognizes that. So there is protocol in some of the things we need to do. But generally, if you're just saying, what do you want me to do? Show me what you're doing, Father. And it's like, well, you know, whatever it might be, go and pray for this person today. Well, you already have the authority to do that. But definitely when there's something new, follow the perspective, particularly if it's legislative. You know, use it to frame your day. Order your day according to the thing that God said. So what do you think? Order in my day. Well, God says to do this today. So I then go to my mountain and I start to call for everything needed for me to do it. The resource, the wisdom, the insight. You know, when I talk to people all day, I just don't hope for the best and hope I might be able to answer a question or not. I already prepare the question, the answers, even though I don't know what the questions will be. But eternity knows what the questions will be. And I'm standing in eternity. So I can already frame them. I just release that resource. So I call all the angels into place to be in place for everything I need. So, you know, I do a lot of things to order things according to what God said should happen. I don't leave it to chance and just hope for the best, which is what a lot of people do, you know, to be honest. If you don't know what you're doing, then you just hope. But you don't have to hope. You're in a position of authority over those spheres that you have. So use that position of authority to order and bring government into your life. Don't be subject to the circumstances and situations that are going on around you. Take authority and use your mandate to change things and bring order to them. Administrate it. You know, administration, oh, I'm not an administrator. Yes, you are. You're an administrator of your own life because you have the authority to use the mandates and things in the blueprint to administrate them to see they happen. You know? So the whole kingdom, the whole government system operates on administration. If someone didn't administrate a law, it would just sit on a desk and no one would use it. So the administration would be, here's the law. The administration is, we're going to get put into the statute book. Then, from the statute book, you have to let everyone know who has the authority to use that law. They then are empowered. So let's say it's a law, which is a law, which is a judicial thing for the police. If you do not pass the law, which is on the statutes, to the police and say, we want you to stop this, well, they won't do it. So there's a whole process of administration that goes on in the natural government, same in the kingdom. So, you know, let's say you have a law that says you can't use cell phones while you're driving. Some of your states might have that law. Our whole country has that law. And the police have to know that if they see somebody driving and using a cell phone without Bluetooth or whatever, then they have the power to pull them over and fine them. But if no one told them that that law had been produced, they wouldn't know to do that. So you have to assign your angels and tell them what they're authorized to do. You know, you have to work this out in your life. It doesn't just happen. Now, I know people, oh, this is really complicated, isn't it? Well, it isn't when you know how to do it, and when you've practiced it, it's second nature. You know, and it doesn't take a long time because you just instinctively know what to do. Now I'm in that place all the time. Those things are out working in my life all the time. Because everything's flowing from the place that I'm continually stood in the four faces of God, in the name of God. I'm continually sat on my mountain thrones. I'm continually standing in what was before anything else was. So I've learned to be in all those places because we're all capable of being multidimensional because we're in God and he's omnipresent, so we can be everywhere he is at the same time. Now, it took me a while to get to that point. But I'm now at that point, and everything changed when I was at that point. Because everything I was doing up to that point was linear. Now it isn't linear. Now you have to, I'll maybe talk about that when I talk about rewiring the mind. Okay, so we have to use this process if we're going to understand what to do. If you're going to make a law, go to the Court of Kings. If you're going to get a law put into statutes, you have to go through the Court of Chancellors, go to the Court of Scribes. Then you can use that to go to the Court of Angels, the Court of War, and to use it. So there are courts there, and they all have a purpose. You can go and take whatever you've got authorized to the Court of the Upright, and then you'll get men in white linen assigned. Because a lot of men in white linen are really active at the moment. They're really excited by what we're doing. They're longing to be involved. You know, so you are getting them turn up, and some of them have turned up in some of the things we've been doing while we've been here. No, and we'll find more of them will show up tomorrow. Because they're really excited when you start to operate in the authority of your sonship. Now, there is another place you can get revelation, in Isaiah 6, when you can go to the temple and you can go with a seraphim and you can engage the fire and you can place yourself on the altar and your life can rise up. And you can get what happened to Isaiah, if you're willing. Woe is me, for I am ruined. I'm undone, I'm unraveled. Because I'm a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. So he recognized his generational line had problems. So the fire dealt with the generational line and his personal sin. And then if you go on in Isaiah 6:6, you get the fact that the coals touch his lips, your iniquity is taken away from you and your sin is forgiven. And then I heard the voice, and this is the bit I like, this is what you get from that place, whom shall I send? You know, God's saying this all the time. Who shall I send? And he's looking for people to say, here am I, send me. Now notice, it didn't say, here I am. Because he would never use the name of God in his own image. He used the reflection of the name of God. God is I am, we are am I. Because we're a reflection of the image of God and we carry the authority of that image in what we do. So God is looking for people who will say, send me. Here am I, send me. Because there is so much God wants to do. And there are few laborers to do it. So he's calling people. That's why he's calling a Joshua generation. That's why he's calling us to come into our inheritance beyond the veil and start taking our seats of authority so that he can get the job done. Some things the angels can do and some things they can't. They need us in our as sons who have authority for the earth to operate it. And if we're not in positions, then they're waiting. And this is where, you know, Ian Clayton says, no, most of the angelic realm is bored. Because they're just waiting for us to start giving them their assignments. But we can't do that until we're in the positions of our authority and we're in the position where we've been sent with the mandate to do whatever it is. But to do that, we have to go through the fire first. You know, you have to embrace the altar before you get the call. So you can't engage the realms of heaven without going through the fire. So when you engage this temple, it's great. Let it purify the motives of your heart. About a year or so ago, God told me to go to there every day and put my heart on the altar. So literally I go there and symbolically I place my heart on the altar. And the fire of the altar, I'm yielding and surrendering to the purification of it. And, you know, about a few months ago, God told me to put my mind on the altar as well. You know, so I've been doing that for the fire to break some of the patterns and pathways and things in my mind. So I'm not going to be constrained by earthly thinking. So if you hear God's voice, God is looking for agreement and cooperation. So respond. You know, as I said before, you know, I'm doing some things that other people should be doing simply because I've been willing to say yes. You know, and, you know, I'd rather not. To be honest, I'd rather be doing and focusing on things I'm just supposed to be doing. But because it's all now for God, my destiny can be revalued, you know, because it's eternity. So God can rewrite the conditions. That might freak some of you out. You know? But actually, someone saw their scroll and saw the day they were supposed to die. And then they started working on some of the stuff in their lives, and then they saw the scroll again and it changed. So don't be restricted by what's already happened to you. Yes. Things can change. So develop that here am I, send me attitude. You know, it's a cheerful attitude. It's a, hey, this is exciting. We're going on an adventure today. Yeah. You don't get up in the morning and say, oh, not another day. Get up in the morning and say, another day. Yeah. Imagine what we're going to do today, God. What are we going to do? And I say that to him every day. I open my first love gate. He's like, where are we going today? What are we doing? Because I don't know. But he does. So you might also find in that temple, there are maps, dimensional perspectives, things that could be seen and released. And it's almost like they're sort of over the walls or over the sort of the dome of the thing. That's where that map of the US and the arrows came from. That was in that temple that I first fired those arrows into that map. Now, there are other areas where you can engage in governmental things. The High Chancellor's houses, God's giving access to chancellors to engage the High Chancellor's houses to begin to align things for more of a global thing that's going on. And those things can also be aligned for seasons and things that are happening. There's a House of Scrolls, which is open at the moment. And there are angels who are waiting to release scrolls that contain mandates and blueprints. They're there, already produced. They're just waiting for someone to come and engage them. You can go and receive that scroll, take it to the court of chancellors, get it sealed, take it to the court of scribes, get it written to record, take it to the court of angels, they'll give you some assignments, they'll come and engage with it, take it to the court of strategy or war, use it from your throne. That's what you do when you get something like that. Now, I believe God wants to release those things today. You know, there are people here who need to get a mandate and a blueprint for what God wants to do. You know, so that Court of Scrolls is open. Well, it's a house. You know, it's one of the Chancellor's houses. And it's a specific thing for the alignment for the Joshua generation. Because that's my role. And when I did a court case before the Council of 70, I have spent 18 months learning to align the circle of the deep. Now, what's the circle of the deep? Well, there's those 12 houses that need to be aligned. Now, the Hebrews call it the Maseroth, and they see the actual pattern of the stars, which revolve every 360 degrees, every 25,000 years or whatever it is. And of course, you see the rising of the house of the Aries and the rising of the house of Aquarius, and all these things come into alignment. But it really isn't talking about the physical stars as much as the governmental things that are behind it. And there are houses that are behind that, which are chancellors, high chancellors, that are responsible for it. And they are calling us to begin to take our authority as sons to align those things. So tomorrow I'll give you a picture and pattern of what those houses are and how to engage it and how to align it for the seasons that you need to do that for your own situation. Because I've been aligning it for tomorrow, you know, for the last 2 years. You know, I didn't know that it was going to culminate in tomorrow. And, you know, the fantastic thing about tomorrow, and I thank Flora for getting this from God, tomorrow, if you add up the 9th of the, or the 24th of the 9th, 2016, you add it up and it comes to 24, which is 3/8. So tomorrow is the triple government of new beginnings. So it's a new day, you know. So there's also a mantle house where there are mantles, new mantles for you, for the Joshua generation, for the new scrolls. There are mantles of authority that come with them. And there are legions of angels there waiting to release those mantles to the people who get the scrolls. And some of the, you know, earthly authority, as we know, the fivefold ministry, has been surpassed by the heavenly. Because there is a heavenly equivalent of what was the earthly fivefold ministry. And it's kings, priests, legislators, oracles, and scribes. And they have a heavenly function. And there are magistrates, and there are judges, and there are chancellors. And some of you are going to be given scrolls that call you into these positions of heavenly government. I know people who are magistrates in heaven. When they were given that role, they didn't even know what a magistrate was. Now, in our country, I know what a magistrate is because they function in a magistrate's court, which is different from a crown court, which has a judge. And the level of authority they have is different from what you have as a judge, but it's still authority, and you can use it. So there are different things that God is releasing in these days, bringing people into positions of heavenly authority so that we can start to align things so things on the earth start to come under the government of heaven. And, you know, judging things. When you think about judging angels, what do you think? Do you think that is all bad? Because it isn't all bad. Because angels like to be judged now. And they like to be told that they're doing a good job. So actually, when your angels do stuff, don't just ignore them. Thank them. Honor them. Don't worship them. But honor them for their role. Because when we judge, we're basically saying, well done. You did a good job. So we can do that now. I'd never even thought about that until I was talking to someone, Pamela, hopefully she'll be here tomorrow. And it's like, she does that all the time. And they love it. And guess what? Guess what they're more inclined to go and engage with? People who appreciate them. So let's appreciate what they do for us because they serve. Okay. So what we're going to do, we're going to do an activation. There you go, we've got some time. We'll do an activation. And we're going to go to the temple altar. And you'll have an opportunity of embracing the fiery altar and the seraphim. And you might smile or laugh or not laugh or fire when you get there. Because if you get a woe is me, I'm undone and I'm unraveled, then go with it. You know, don't argue with it. Just embrace it and present your heart on the altar. So we're going to go engage that. We're going to engage the ark so we can get a mandate to go to wisdom. So when we're going to go to wisdom's heights, and we're going to ask her to open the house of scrolls and the house of mandates, so you can get new scrolls and new mantles for those scrolls. Okay. Now you might think, well, I don't know how to do this. Like, well, just go with the flow, and by faith engage. And if you don't see anything, don't worry. Let your spirit just engage. You know, just go with it. And if Jesus wants to take you somewhere else, also feel free to go and do that. Because it's like we don't want to be prescriptive of everything God does. But there are different positions of government I believe he's going to release today. And mandates for establishing of something new. So be open for receiving those scrolls to receive mandates and blueprints for new things to be established. Because if we do not start establishing new things, storehouses, embassies on the earth, ecclesia, we're not going to see a harvest. You know, God is waiting for us to be ready to release that harvest. You know, it won't rot on the ground because it won't fall. No, some of it, if it goes to the wrong places, will mean those people have to go through the wilderness. But if we've got the places, we can bring people straight into the promised land rather than having to wander around in the wilderness for years. So that's why we need to get ready. So in this, be open for those mandates and blueprints. We have an open heaven. We have Jacob's ladder, if you like that picture of walking into an open heaven. It's open. You have an invitation to come up here. So if you need a picture to activate your imagination, just look at that one. You know? And any time you go through this, if you're sort of struggling, usually there's pictures on the screen which relate to where we are, you know, and that might trigger you if you think, oh, I can't see anything. So just activate the eyes of your heart. So what I encourage you to do is relax, you know, make sure you're comfortable. You know, it helps to be comfortable and relaxed. And then think about an open heaven, think about the invitation to come up here. So by faith, just take a step. Take a step through the veil into that open heaven. Jesus is standing, waiting for us. We come to you, Lord, as a living sacrifice, and we present ourselves to you. Our whole desire is to surrender our will to yours, to find your mandate, your blueprints, your scrolls for our lives today. So I just ask, Lord, that you would take each person by the hand here and just take us through the veils. Bring us through the veil of the way and the truth. To come before the temple where the train of your robe fills that temple. To come before the altar. Our desire is to lay our heart on the altar. To come and open our lives before you. To be a sacrifice and an offering. So just let the fire of the altar touch you. Be open for whatever he says. Just spend some time just engaging there. Just let your heart be open to him. Just let the fire touch your heart at a deeper level. Just let it remove any iniquity, anything that's holding you back. Now just hear him speak to you, commission you, call you, and just be willing to respond with that, "Here am I, send me." Your heart changed, your heart transformed. Now, Jesus, I would ask you, just guide us, direct us, come before the ark of your presence. So as we come and stand before the ark, we open our hearts and ask you to unveil your will and purpose for us. We ask for a mandate today, for a new scroll, with new blueprints, with new mandates, with new mantles. So we ask, as we engage your face, your face is your name, as we engage the Yod, Ha, He, Vav, He, that we embrace the authority of the order of Melchizedek. Our whole desire is to serve you, to fulfill your purpose in the earth as sons of God. So just receive that scroll, which is a mandate for new things. And Jesus, I would ask you, would just take us to wisdom's heights. We would come to the place where the way of the doors of wisdom's pillars, and just engage with wisdom as Jesus introduces you to her. If you've never met her, just be open to receive that wisdom, because she's been calling to the sons of men to come to this place to help us rule, to help us govern, to help us legislate, to help bring us into our positions of authority. Just engage wisdom and sense her heart for you. I ask wisdom that you would give to those here who have a chancellor's function, the chancellor's seal. Now, I would ask for permission to engage the High Chancellor's house of scrolls and mantles. Now just engage. The door is open. You can go into the Chancellor's house. The angelic realm is there with scrolls for you. There are tables, benches laid out with scrolls on them. You may feel you want to go and walk up and pick some of them up. Just be open to receive a new scroll. It may contain a mandate, it may contain a blueprint, it may contain a commissioning into a new position. Just receive those scrolls. Ask for the release of the scrolls for the Joshua generation to come into their heavenly positions of government. Scrolls for kings and priests, legislators, oracles and scribes, magistrates, judges, chancellors. A call for a release of the scrolls with blueprints for ecclesias, embassies of heaven on earth. Now call for the angels of the house of mantles to bring new mantles. And as you walk out of that chancellor's house, engage by faith, take a step, and allow the angel to place on you a new mantle of authority for the new role that you've been given. Some of you are given mantles to be part of a bench of three, for an ecclesia, for an embassy. Just be willing. Just receive the new mantle for those new positions that you've been empowered and commissioned to take. Now, wisdom, I would ask that you would now guide us through the process and the protocols of the courts of heaven. Take us to the Chancellor's Court. And as you come before the Chancellor's Court, present your scrolls to the Chancellors at the bench and wait for them to seal the scroll. You may find men in white linen start to come around you to stand with you. The angelic realm starts rejoicing. As they seal your scroll, lion, ox, eagle, man. They return your scroll to you. And now, wisdom will take you from that court to the court of scribes and present your sealed scroll to the court of scribes and let them record it and put it into record on the statute books for your life. And if you have a mandate, a new blueprint for an ecclesia, a new record will be put into place, a statute book. So just let them transcribe it, and then they will return it to you. Now you have the returned scroll. You can place it within the treasure of your heart. You can go to your mountain and place it there. You may feel you want to go to the court of angels to see angelic assignment to it. You may feel you want to go to the court of the upright to see men in white linen assigned to it. Or just go to your mountain and start to use the authority you have, perhaps to begin to call things. If you've never been invested on a mountain in heaven, then I'm going to ask Jesus to take you to that mountain, your mountain, a position of authority in the heavens, to take you there. And as he takes you there, you'll find a throne. Take your place and be seated on the throne in heavenly places and allow Jesus to invest you with authority in lordship. As he places a crown on your head, just be sensitive to what that might look like or feel like. He will place a mantle on your shoulders. You can have many mantles. This is the lordship, and he'll give you a scepter in your hand. That scepter may have a particular appearance, sometimes with gems or crystals that are attached to them. Just be open to receive. And let him speak words of affirmation to you, to affirm you in your position, in lordship, in the realms of heaven. Those of you who already are from your mountains, you can begin to use the authority of the new mandates you have to order, to call, to declare, to decree. Just let your spirit begin to birth things from that place. All that you engage in the realms of heaven, you can take as a seed, as a testimony, and plant it in the garden of your heart. Just think of that garden. Think of the seed, plant it by the river of life, water it, speak life to it, and see that tree grow with fruit immediately. You can always go back and take of that fruit and enter into that testimony, and then begin to give it to others. To help them. So just begin to prepare your hearts. You can stay there for a while if you want to, or you can just begin to draw back your soul into this realm. And these exercises are just the beginning, maybe the first time some of you have done something like this, maybe you've done it lots of times, but by faith, engage. If it's visual, that's great. If you just get impressions and you perceive, that's great. If you just know what's going on, that's great. Don't strive. But by faith, your spirit will have engaged and you will have received. Leave it there.